Well, why don't we do some introductions here? For those that don't know, would you introduce yourself, Troy?
My name is Troy at Calvary Chapel Lynchburg.
Yeah, great. And how many years you been there?
29 years. August was 29 years.
And where are you from? Where are you from? Where'd you come out of?
Yeah, so we born in California. When we were sent out, we came from Calvary Chapel Vista. Pastor Brian Broderson was pastoring there. He sent us out in a super generous way. Rebecca and myself, we met in the youth group at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And got married there, and then were sent out on the mission field from there. And yeah.
Well, you're a missionary in Australia, weren't you?
Australia for two years. So yeah, it was great and hard. It was a tough learning experience, but absolutely necessary.
What was harder, Australia or Virginia?
Australia. Australia is, now I've been gone for 32 years, 33. So I'm not like up to date on it. But it was hard. It's very aggressive. It's very, a lot of fighting. And so as a 21-year-old, I went down there and, you know, the church started talking about a constitution. I thought the United States had a constitution. I didn't know that churches had constitutions. Here I am, a minister. I don't even know this language. And the church ends up splitting over it. And then I watched the church. I'd never been a part of a church split. And I watched that split, and I got caught up in the wash of all that and saw how mean people could be. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I'd rather just teach a home fellowship and be a lawyer, you know? So we had that serious conversation. And what really helped was just Chuck's book on why grace changes everything. And we all need to read that again, I think. So,
okay, John.
John Pillivant, Calvary Chapel Bartlett. Been there for 29 years this coming January. Was a youth minister for 11 years in Southern California at a church called Calvary Chapel Westminster. Some of you might know Brad Young, the pastor. Many of you might know his very famous country western singing star son, Brett Young. Okay, there you go.
Nobody wants to admit that they listen to secular music here, John.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shame on you, and on you, and on you.
Real judgment.
Yeah. Mark, please, you're next, Mark, please.
Yeah, Mark Kirk, in Knoxville, Tennessee, been there 26 years. Grew up in Tennessee, and
you were a preacher's son.
Yeah, so I was all
don't
over
leave
Tennessee.
That out.
Yeah, I was a preacher's kid, unsaved preacher's kid for the first 25 years, but all over Tennessee. So Tennessee's kind of home, but there wasn't really any one spot. And then got introduced to Calvary Chapel with my best friend, who is now my wife, and ended up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, for 7 years, where God really got me involved in the Calvary Chapels, and then from there sent us back to plant in Knoxville. So that's how we got there.
Wonderful. And tell me again how long you've been there?
26 years.
26 years. Wow, that's great. Good.
And you are?
My name is Sandy Adams, and I've been here in Stone Mountain, Georgia for 43 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I grew up here, heard Pastor Chuck on the radio, wanted to go to California and find out what this was all about, and met Paul's brother, Paul. When I was there, he was the head of the Bible college when I was up in Twin Peaks when I was out there. I got to meet Paul, and through Paul met Pastor Chuck, and got Chuck's blessing and came back and started a Calvary Chapel here in my hometown. And been at it ever since. Yeah. Great.
Thanks for hosting this.
Wonderful. Yeah. Great. It's our joy. It's our joy. You know, when I think of Calvary Chapel, I think of two things. I think, first of all, of the core values that we hold. You know, the teaching, the way we teach the Scripture is certainly a distinctive of Calvary Chapel. What we believe about the Holy Spirit, how we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a Calvary Chapel distinctive. Our belief in the pre-trib rapture of the church You know, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus Christ. And so, and it keeps you on the edge of your seat, that thought. Keeps you on the edge of your seat. You're always looking up. I like that. I like the core values, the core distinctives of Calvary Chapel. That's one reason that I'm a part of Calvary Chapel, but after having embraced that and wanting to build a ministry around those distinctives, I also found some rich relationships and some friendships, including you guys. And so that's become another valuable thing about being a Calvary Chapel. It's a family. We call ourselves a fellowship of pastors, and that's really what we are. But what is a fellowship? Two fellows in one ship. And so, you know, it's that relationship, it's that fellowship that we have, and that's what Calvary Chapel's about. I get frustrated with guys that want to be affiliated, they want to be a part of the fellowship, but they'd really prefer not having the fellowship. And that just doesn't, in this neck of the woods, that doesn't fly. You know, we're trying to weed that kind of thinking out. If you're going to be a part of the fellowship, we want you to fellowship with us. That's the point of it. So those two things are what Calvary Chapel means to me, a set of distinctives and some rich relationships. And then when Pastor, for a long time, we were, a movement around one man. Pastor Chuck was everybody's pastor. I know he was your pastor's, my pastor. But in 2013, Pastor Chuck graduated and went to be with Jesus. We all envy him. He's experiencing his reward now, and rightly so. What a wonderful legacy he left for all of us. But then what happened with Calvary Chapel is we've sort of become more of a regional movement now, not around one man, but now a regional movement with local leadership in the various regions. There is a national council, a CCA council, but then we're divided into different regions all across the, around the world, really. And in this region, I was asked to coordinate efforts here and was asked to choose a team. And these were the men that the Lord put on my heart, along with Jerry. Jerry served with us for a number of years, and along with Pastor John Hoppe, who wasn't able to be here with us today. John's an important part of our team as well. And so this is what you're stuck with here in this part of the country. We have 11 states that we're commissioned to oversee and to help and encourage. And John handles a lot of the Calvary activity and new fellowships and all that start in Arkansas and Louisiana and Western Tennessee, Mississippi. Troy handles a lot of the fellowships in Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia, and does a great job with that. And then Mark handles the fellowships in Kentucky and in Tennessee, in the whole area there from Nashville up to Knoxville. Mark is involved in those with those churches. And so so we're a national movement, a regional movement across the world. We are commissioned to abide by a set of distinctives and to have rich fellowship with one another. And then what we do, what we've been called to do and commissioned to do, is really just three things. We're going to talk about what we don't do. But what we have been commissioned to do is to, number one, manage the affiliation process. Number two is to provide opportunities for fellowship, like what we're experiencing this week. And then number three, help out in problem situations when we're invited and when we're asked. And not much beyond that. And so if you, and probably not a month goes by that I don't get a beautiful picture of a retreat facility in Western North Carolina, beautiful rivers running through it, and the letter comes in and says, Pastor Sandy, why don't you and the CCA people buy this property and build a Bible college? you know, on this. We don't have any money. We're not a denomination. And trust me, you don't want us to become a denomination. And to have funds, to have communal funds where you can make big purchases like that, it necessitates a denomination.
I ain't giving.
You see how John treats his own church members. Would you want to go in business with a retreat facility with John Pilavant? You got to be kidding. And so, you know, we need to think through, you know, what advantages we have as a fellowship. We're a fellowship. We're a voluntary fellowship. People come and go from our movement. That's okay. But we're not a denomination. We don't want to be a denomination. We don't want to pull resources. We don't want to have a corporate headquarters. We don't want to hire staff. That's why it may be 3 weeks before I call you back when you give me a call. Or I may forget about it, and you may have to call me back 3 months later because I don't have a big staff, a big team. The pastors of our church, they're concerned with our church. They're concerned with the people who they're paid to minister to and to love and help grow. You are our hobby. You're what happens after we get done with everything else that we do. And you want it that way. You want it that way. You want a voluntary, a free-flowing kind of association. We don't want to be a denomination, do we? Do we, Troy?
No, we don't. And I think when there's been times when we've had people that aren't real busy step into this role, it's gotten really complicated fast.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think
so you're that saying our busyness really drives the ship here.
I think it does help. It's kind of, you know, sometimes I think about all the building codes that, you know, get implemented when you go to build a building. I'm like, really, you thought of that? You know, and it's because people are sitting around with time on their hands to dream this stuff up. If you have a bunch of people that have nothing but to manage you, they're going to dream stuff up.
Right.
So being busy, I think, is an advantage. It can be a disadvantage, but I don't think a crisis has ever been forgotten.
Right. John?
Well, you know, we go to Zechariah where he says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And we're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead you to minister to your people, just like we're trusting him to lead us to minister to the people God brings to us. And as been said before, we are willing to help when asked, and we like it that way. We have no business telling you how the Holy Spirit wants to run your church.
Hallelujah. We're trying to figure it out ourselves.
You know, I specifically on this am so appreciative. One of the things that drew me to Calvary Chapel, I mean, obviously the Lord, but the more I learned about it, coming from a denominational pastor's son and seeing the whole denomination work on the inside, I really appreciate the freedom that Calvary Chapel gives a pastor to be a pastor. And that doesn't mean that we're not accountable to each other and that we have to have a set of beliefs that we stand on. We know that because we have to have that agreement. But I'm so appreciative that I'm allowed to be a pastor. And that was such a foreign concept because I'm not going to say that my dad wanted to be a hireling. I'm not going to say that. I want to honor my dad and everything I say. But I will say this, because of the denominational structure and the board around him, he was forced to be a hireling. And I watched my dad be a hireling his whole life. I never saw him have a chance to be a pastor. And so for me to be in a role where I can now be a pastor is amazing, and I think it's of God.
Yeah. Amen. You know, you really ought to pinch yourself when you think about it. I mean, we have the privilege to follow the Holy Spirit and to be led by God without somebody looking over our shoulder every step of the way, and yet still be a part of something bigger than ourselves and invite some accountability into our lives and into our ministry. And that's a rare combination. I don't know anywhere else in the body of Christ you can find that kind of combination. Yeah. Where must she go? Okay. Let's talk about affiliation. There's three things that we do as the regional team. We manage affiliations, we provide opportunities for fellowship, and we solve problems when invited to do so. So let's talk a little bit about affiliation. Somebody calls you, Troy, and says, "Hey, Pastor Troy, how do I become a Calvary Chapel?" How do you answer them?
So begin to just say, "Well, listen, I'll encourage that phone call. I thank them for being interested in being a part of what we're doing, and try and just seize the moment of encouragement. It's probably a big deal that they've made that phone call." Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage them. I want them to feel good that they've made that phone call, and then just lay out, say, "Listen, there's a couple of different ways in which we handle this. If you're coming from an established Calvary Chapel where the pastor is in good standing, and he will write you a letter of reference, and you're willing to work well with the guys around you, it's going to go pretty quick. And there's a way in which we handle that. If you're coming in and you're outside, then that's, from Calvary Chapel, and you're moving in, and there's a lot of you have done that, and we welcome that as well. But we're going to take an extra minute to make certain that you understand what you're getting involved with. And so there might be some more paperwork. There might be some more meetings. But I think the first thing I try to do is you collect that data and then start inviting them to the local gatherings
right.
that we have.
See if they want a fellowship.
I was just sharing that with a brother over here that it's like, well, start coming to the meetings. And he said, "Well, can I come if I'm not affiliated yet?" I'm like, "Well,
absolutely.
We want to see that you're going to be involved. So we'll start there. I'll give them maybe some numbers of people around their area if they don't know, and encourage the guys in our region is to meet with them and get to know who's going to be moving into your neighborhood. So if I think we get a letter,
After they come to those meetings, they might not want to be affiliated.
They might not. Well, it's happened. Remember the one guy left halfway through our...
He left halfway through the...
Halfway
the,
through. We're like, where'd he go?
Huddle, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't like us. So, that's all right. That probably was some money well spent for him.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, not everybody's going to enjoy this. So... I think that if they get a letter of reference from their pastor and they can get a letter of reference from a local guy and then they agree with our doctrinal statement, philosophy of ministry statement, it's a pretty easy process.
Right. But now, let's say I have that. Say I have some letters of recommendation and I came from an established Calvary, but I start a home fellowship. There's six people coming. 4 months later, eight people coming. It's a home fellowship. Doesn't mean that it's not important. Doesn't mean it's not ministering to the people who are there. Doesn't mean that it might not grow into a church at some point in the future. But I want to be affiliated now. And matter of fact, I got my business cards already printed up. And I've got my, I got all my literature already printed up and on my desk placard. And I got the dove on it. Why are you going to tell me, John, I can't use a dove? Why are you going to tell me I can't be a Calvary Chapel? I have to tear up my business card, so I'm Calvary Chapel. I'm not affiliated yet, right?
Correct.
Why am I not affiliated? I got six people coming.
Well, we want to know, has God anointed you and ordained you to be a pastor? And one of the signs of being an ordained by God minister is that people will come to hear what you have to say.
Right.
And if people aren't coming to hear what you have to say, then... maybe you're not called to be a pastor.
That really wasn't the answer I was hoping for there, John.
My other point is... what is the
here's
point?
What, here's, what we used, here's what used to happen. We used to affiliate home fellowships. But so we have a guy comes to us in... say, he wants to start a church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. So he comes to us and... He's got six, eight people coming, and so we put on the website Calvary Chapel Harrisonburg. But there's this kid in San Diego, Ronnie Breen, who's been praying, "God, what do you want me to do?" God puts it on his heart to plant a Calvary Chapel in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And so what does he do? He goes to the website. He says, "Oh, no, there's already a Calvary Chapel in Harrisonburg. I don't want to go there." Ronnie's a nice guy. He's not going to go over there and get on the top of what somebody else is doing, lay on another man's foundation. And so we quenched the Holy Spirit. We've quenched the Holy Spirit. We had God's man there, but because we affiliated someone who didn't really start a church, he started a home fellowship, we shot ourselves in the foot. And so what we decided to do a number of years ago is we no longer affiliate Home Fellowships. So what we ask is we ask you to begin to develop a church. And so when you get a certain threshold of people that are coming, that's one sign. That's one way you would tell a group has gone from a fellowship to a more of a church. Ministry to different ages. Leadership beyond just you and your wife and your kids. All kinds of different...
Bank account. Elders.
Tithing.
Leadership.
You're able to give a receipt for the tithes. You're a little bit organized and so forth. We're not looking for you to be a big corporation or whatever, but we are looking for you to show some signs that you've now moved beyond just being a home fellowship and you've become a church in your community that we can... because here's what this affiliation list does. If somebody's looking for a church, they go to that affiliation list and they look up a certain community and they expect to go and find a Calvary Chapel church there. And that's our responsibility to ensure that those that are on that list fit that expectation. So... anything else you'd add to that, Mark?
I would just say, I remember years ago, and I think it was Chuck at a conference years ago, or somebody at a conference anyway, was talking about, it's interesting, again, how important education is, what Troy was talking about. That's great. There's nothing wrong. And matter of fact, if you're going to be a Calvary Chapel pastor, you've got to study. I mean, you have to. If you're going to really teach it line by line, verse by verse, you're going to become a student if you weren't one. That's just the bottom line, whether you go to Bible college or you do it at home. But it's interesting because the approach, you got to come back to my experience seeing, my dad and being around some of the denominational type pastors, is they would go to college first and get that degree and then go out and find out, I'm not really called. And really, they probably didn't know it, but everybody else did. And so I really like the approach of kind of go out and see what the fruit is. And I remember saying, go out, see if there's fruit. If there's fruit, it's evidence the call is legit. And then you can start, and that'll happen with kind of the growing and maybe finding your own place to meet. And people call it their own church home. They'll start tithing to it and get involved in it. And so, the fruit, really, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. And I think being able to watch the fruit for a while, it's a test in patience. Everybody wants to get that affiliation. I know I did when we were young and wanting to go and all that. But, man, if you see the fruit, now you know. And so it's kind of that evidence.
Now, have you had guys come to you and got mad at you when you said that? Said, I want to be affiliated now.
No, I haven't had to get mad, but I have had some that are a little bit pushy. So, I kind of want to, matter of fact, I have a couple I've talked to recently and one that's kind of, going through the process and looking at things. And another one, you can just tell by talking to them sometimes, it's kind of like, I've got this going. I want it to be that. And so you kind of give them direction, but I'm not anybody to get mad at me, but I think maybe they're kind of.
What would be a right attitude for someone coming and approaching you and you saying, hey, let's give it some time here. Let's look at this. What would be a right attitude on their part? And why would that benefit them?
I have had people get mad at me. I think they're still mad at me. I don't like saying that. I don't like that part of this whole process. Just be candid when that happens. This is the thing I dislike the least. I find that conflict hard. But I think the right attitude is, and I think most of the guys that say, listen, I'm not in a hurry. I just want to see what the Lord's doing. I just want to do this right. So we'll keep on doing this. I'll stay in touch with you. And I keep letting you know what's going on. And I think that...
And a wonderful relationship gets developed through
that's
that, right?
Yeah.
That actually ends up benefiting the fellow who's planning the church. Yeah. Because now he's got Troy on his team. And he's calling Troy. He's talking to Troy. He's talking to John. Talking to me, and he's getting some good counsel, hopefully, along the way. And it's a good process, I think.
It does make it hard though if they've gone out and they've bought the sign, and they got the letterhead and the business cards and the website and all that stuff is up, and they hear. I mean, this is where the point of conflict comes in.
Okay, so what should they do? They want to be a Calvary Chapel, but they're not a Calvary Chapel yet. They're in this process. What do they call themselves?
They should move, do what Dave Marini did. Just name your church Calvary and move to Chapel Hill. And you're called Calvary Chapel Hill.
He outsmarted everybody.
Dave was always a smart guy. Seriously, what would they call their group?
I think a lot of people end up calling them Calvary Fellowships. We often hear guys using
local Christian fellowship, your town here, Christian fellowship.
Yeah. Or if you came out of a guy, go back to that guy who wrote you the letter of recommendation. Go back to him and say, hey, could I be Calvary Home Fellowship from, let's say it was Mark that wrote me the letter. I said, Mark, could I be Calvary Knoxville Home Fellowship? Yeah. You know, could I do that? And if Mark's not going to affiliate you, why should we affiliate you?
That's right.
So Mark knows you, and Mark should, you know, you should be able to go out under his covering. That would be a good thing if he trusts you.
So. You know, Cindy, I think just on this whole process, I think one thing is helpful for everyone who's a senior pastor out there is when you write your letter of recommendation, have it mean something. Like, they're a teacher, their marriage is in good order, they're a man of integrity, they're committed to, the Calvary Chapel model of ministry and doctrine. Because, I mean, you saying, hey, they're a really neat guy doesn't help us. I mean, so take the time to get to know a few of those things about them. And when that letter of reference comes in, if you can address those four things, I find that a lot more helpful that they actually, there's somebody knows this person beyond just a coffee.
The last word on affiliation. If you're not affiliated with Calvary Chapel, we are not against you. Mm. We are for you. Mm-hmm. And we want to help you and help you in that process and help you be a growing, healthy, productive Calvary Chapel. That's our desire. The second thing we've been called to do is opportunities for fellowship. Mark, what are you guys doing in Knoxville?
We do. We have every 3 months be getting the guys together there at Knoxville, there at the church. And then I invited the guys to have it at their place if they wanted. So we had one recently do it at his place or whatever. And so we'll be coming back here in a couple months to our place again. And we just get all the regional guys together. And I typically what we do is I'll bring them in and just give them lunch, you know, and then just kind of hang
you
out.
You pay?
I do.
Wow.
I do. I don't know. They're driving in. They're coming there. So I'll get them lunch. And we all sit around there and just kind of talk. And we had, matter of fact, we had a guy come this last time who's wanting to get affiliated. That's what he came and joined us and just kind of joined in and had some guys bring a couple other buddies with him and all that. And so it's good. It's just a good time of fellowship. And I have this mindset because I know that all the guys are busy. I know everybody's busy, right? And so you're asking them to do an extra thing on a Tuesday. We've been doing it on Tuesdays. They drive into Knoxville. I said, look, I'm willing to come to your church. If you'll open it up, I'll come there. And that kind of thing. And so we're kind of, I think, working on taking turns and that kind of stuff. But I love having them there. It's fun having them there. But at the same time, we're there for usually, it's usually at least a couple hours time. You eat and talk, you're hanging out, and, you know, your day's gone. And I'm thinking, man, they've got to run. They've got 10 meetings. They've got all the phone calls. They don't leave. They just stay there and keep going. I'm like, praise the Lord. Hang out, guys, as long as you want. We have coffee. We have, you know, some desserts afterwards. And the guys hang out in fellowship. And it's sweet.
Great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. John?
We have our annual Man Up Day. This year it's going to be May 18th, a Saturday from 8:30 a.m. to about 3 p.m. Steak and eggs breakfast, Memphis barbecue lunch, $40. And so we have several of the Calvaries in our area that will come out and fellowship with us. We have a great time. And like I said, $50. So...
if you tithe, you should get that for free.
You should, yeah. But in addition to that, I myself with several of the other guys in my area, we text back and forth, we talk, we get together quite often just to fellowship.
Very similar. We get together in North Carolina, and then also in Virginia. So coming up, we have one October 12th in North Carolina at Kevin Edwards. They'll be hosting at Calvary Chapel Clayton. And then we'll be having one October 19th, and that's going to be up in Fredericksburg. And we rotate them around. So we try to make it within a couple, at some point within the year, it's going to be within a couple hours drive, maybe even shorter. Then we have the huddle that we do once a year where we pull everybody together. My wife, Rebecca, gets together with the pastor's wives. And we do those differently. Sometimes it's just senior pastor or a senior pastor and assistant or senior pastor and two guys. just to make the drive a little bit easier.
Our huddle this spring in Virginia is going to be April 15th through 17th. So you might want to make note of that, guys. We do the similar down in Alabama. In Chaco Springs, we have a Baptist retreat facility that we love going to. We have a lot of fun. 3 days, unwind, just relax, be yourself. It's just a great time. The dates on that this year are December 4th through 6th, and then we're going back February 5th through 7th. The event's grown too big, and so we're going to split it in half. It's a little bit more manageable, the fellowship, if you do two of them rather than one of them. So you can get the dates for that. They do a wonderful men's conference in Calvary Chapel, Lexington. Joe, what are the dates on the men's conference? Stand up, Joe, and shout it out real loud.
It's October 20th and 21st this year.
Great, great. Mm-hmm. Lexington, South Carolina. And all this is listed in the conference ebook you got. When you go to the QR code and click on it, everything comes up, all the different things that are happening in our region. Great. And then the third thing that we do is we handle problem situations when we're invited to come and do so. Dave and Christmas are in Lafayette, Louisiana. They came in the aftermath of the senior pastor there died. And in the aftermath of his death, there was a lot of confusion within the fellowship, what direction the church was going to go, who was going to take over, how things were going to play out. And we were able to step into that situation there and provide some guidance. And again, they had to call. We don't impose ourselves on anybody, but they called and they said, hey, could you come and help us? And through all of that, they got a great pastor with Pastor David, and we're excited about what God's doing there in Lafayette. Same thing in Saline County, Arkansas.
Saline County, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And we've been involved in some real situations that didn't turn out very well. We had a pastor that was growing pot in the basement of his church in Arkansas. Just telling the truth, Mike. Just telling the truth. But that didn't turn out very well at all for him.
Yeah. He was welcome at other denominations, but...
You know, he actually died in prison. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole nother story. Anything else we need to cover?
I just wouldn't... I mean, you've said it a few times, but when invited in, which I think sometimes people will want us to step into situations that we've not been invited to. And so what do we believe? We believe in the local authority of the church. So if there's a elders or board or whatever it's called, we're going to give them the opportunity to make those decisions. And so if we're not invited in or they're handling it, we could give advice, but we're not going to overstep that. You don't want us to step in over those boards and begin to insert ourselves into the life of that local church. And so sometimes that's got to take a little while to work itself out.
And you know what everybody should do? Everybody should go home and read their bylaws.
Yes.
What's that?
With a big cup of coffee.
Yeah, with a big cup of coffee. Nobody ever reads the bylaws until there's trouble. And then all of a sudden somebody says, well, what do the bylaws say? And you pull out the bylaws and nobody's ever read them before. And they're crazy. I mean, they're just crazy. I mean, who ever thought of this? Why did you ever come up with this idea? But you're stuck with it now. And you got people nipping at your heels. And there's trouble. So make sure you got a good set of bylaws. Because those are going to govern your church. And then if you still have problems in that situation, and local leadership is somehow falling apart, call us, and we'll be happy to come and try to insert ourselves and help out if we can. So, any others? That's great wisdom. Any other stories you want to tell, anything that happened, has ever happened to you?
I would just say, not a story, but I would just say, I want to just second that again about, you know, just, you don't want us lording over you. You know, that's not what Calvary Chapel is. And so we'll hold each other accountable. But I think if we go down that road, it's going to be trouble. So, called in is a good thing. But just kind of stepping in uninvited is not the good thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah, but if you do want our help, then yes, we're going to help. But I, when I've gone there to Calvary Saline, and when I went to Lafayette and one other place, I made it very clear, we will help as little or as much as you want. But if you're asking for help, you're going to get it. So you better make sure that you want help, because I will give it. And so, are you ready? And ignorantly, they say yes. And so there you go.
And you have to tithe.
You know, just going back to one of the first things you said is, like, we're not going to pull our resources together as a denomination and do that. But we were talking when we were planning this, that doesn't prevent you from partnering together with the other Calvaries to do a mission outreach or whatever it is. I mean, so we're not going to do it as a denomination, but it doesn't mean you can't do it as partners with other brothers.
I should say this. We got some good news coming up. We're about to launch. I'm speaking in faith here. We're about to launch a kind of a service where a pastor's wanted service, along with seeking an opportunity situation, where we can match up churches that need worship leaders with worship leaders who want to find churches and that kind of thing. And so we're working to do that through the CalvaryChapelDeepSouth.com website, and we'll send out an email to you to let you know that's how that works, and that's already online and so forth. And speaking of that, if you are not receiving communications from my office here, from Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, please let us know. Please give us your contact information and let us know, hey, for some reason I'm not getting the emails. Please make sure that we're on the CCA list. We want to make sure that we do that. Occasionally, things slip through the cracks, and so we won't know you're not on it unless you tell us. So, anything else? Anything on your heart, you guys? Mark, why don't you pray for these Calvary Chapels and these pastors?
Absolutely. Father, I just thank you, Lord, again for the Calvary Chapel movement. Lord, we know it's a work of you, and you brought us all together as a part of this. And I look back, Lord, in just the introduction at what it was, and not to lift up Calvary Chapel, Lord. We know it's about you. But at the same time, Lord, to find a movement where you could move, and to find a movement where pastors could be pastors, and people could be fed the Word of God line by line and verse by verse, in order to see that it's still going on today. We're so thankful for the heritage you've let us be a part of. And I think of, Lord, all these that are here now, those that are already Calvary pastors, and those that maybe are wanting to be and wanting to be affiliated, and maybe just listening, you know, with bated breath, just listening to what we're talking about. What do I do to get affiliated? And maybe even searching the heart. Why do I want to be affiliated? I just pray, God, you would encourage each of them. And, Lord, I know that you're going to lead each one in the direction you want them to go. And if it's to be a Calvary pastor, they're going to be one. And I just pray, God, you continue, Lord, just to strengthen the Calvary pastors that are already going for it. Lord, as you raise up others, I pray we around them would be encouraging to them, Lord, that we would be helpful in every way that we can, that truly there would be that love and that reaching out and that fellowship and that encouragement. And, Lord, again, recognizing the guys around us that need help and that we can help them, and just being sensitive to each other and just seeing that unity and that love and that brotherhood develop, Lord. It's such a blessing to be a part of. And I just thank you for it. I do pray for all those that, again, are wanting to be affiliated, God, that you would just confirm that in their heart, help them, Lord, to start that process, and to be patient, to wait on you, and to know, Lord, that the fruit will show if this is what you've called them to do. And I thank you for putting around them those that will help them to make that happen and to develop that. So, and again, just for the pastors in general, Lord, again, I know every year we hear this and we say it, but there are no doubt some here that are very discouraged. We've heard a lot of very, very encouraging testimonies, especially as the pastors were sharing, you know, my church is growing, my church is growing, this is happening. And if it's like me in years past and like some of them that may be here, they're going, wow, then why isn't that happening here? Lord, you are working in their lives and you are growing them and you are training them and you're equipping them for something much greater. There are always those Joseph moments and always those Moses times in the backside of the desert. God, encourage them, strengthen each one of them. I pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. Come upon them, Lord, and just let the oil of heaven just drench them, Lord, even as Samuel's horn was poured over David's head. And just to go leave here, Lord, encouraged and know that you are doing a work and you will complete the work that you've begun. And we give you the glory for doing that and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.